You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to it. This is Day of Days. This is Butters. I don't know if you even know the sound effects for this one or not, but this is Friday, we like to say around here. There's a giant applause button you've got over there, man. I'm just going to go ahead and say, oh, there it is. Friday. That was actually, oh, you cut it off too fast. That was actually one of the best initial explosions that I think we've ever had in the studio, just so you know.
Nice. Well,
how are you?
I won't claim that it was accidental, and it was totally intentional. They're little buttons, man. They're little buttons.
They're little bitty buttons. But
yeah. I'm just glad that a real button that makes things go boom isn't that small.
No, but there's so many buttons in here. Don't be surprised if you couldn't launch a ballistic missile from your desk right now.
Yeah.
It's a good
Friday. I'm excited about not talking about larva milk.
Oh, you had to go there again. Yeah, we had quite the discussion yesterday. Just in case you know, there are people out there that think it's a really cool thing to have black soldier fly larva milk. And I'm thinking, oh, we're not doing that again. All right, listen, we got a great show laid on for you. 3:30 today, my brethren in talk radio, Dale Jackson's calling in. We're going to talk about last night's debate because, man, I don't know about y'all. I get that I'm a political junkie. I do this for a living. But I thought last night's debate was exactly what we needed on the political arena. I just do. I think it was Thunderdome last night for, you know, liberal versus conservative. You had Gavin Newsom, who was the poster boy for draconian overreach of government, and over on the other side you had a guy that used to be a member of the Congressional Freedom Caucus who's now leading one of the most, you know, conservative administrations, and they're both on the opposite ends of the nation in the two biggest states that we have. It was pretty epic, I think. We'll see how y'all feel about it. In the meantime, we also got a triple dipper, so hit it, buddy.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you just follow along, man, because we got stuff you got to know as we run today's show. So number one, out the gate, we are going to do a section of home fries because there's been a number of things. And by the way, The Wall Street Journal is writing about the Alabama legislature. Reasons why you got to know what's happening in your own backyard. So we'll touch on some home fries. We'll cook them up for you as we check out what's happening in and around and amongst us right now. And then number two, I am going to spend some time dissecting last night because there were some takeaways. There were some moments. When Ron DeSantis pulled out the poop map for San Francisco, he pulled out a poop map and that was a moment right there in the debate where I thought, this is winning right now. It was great. We're going to talk about it. Number two on the triple dipper, the big state debate. That's number two on the dippers. And then number three, so Bidenomics is said to be a very good thing. It's happening. It's everywhere. It's making a difference, except that it's not making the difference that we need it to make. Bidenomics bust. That's number three on the triple dipper. Two include the fact that just yesterday, U.S. Steel announced upwards of 1,000 layoffs in one of its plants in Illinois. Yeah. All right. We'll talk about all of that. Number three, triple dipper, Bidenomics bust. All right. And then let me move over here to my monologue, my opening statements, the right side way. And I will remind you guys, by the way, Southern Immediate Care is a supporter of the show. They are indeed a sponsor of the show, and they are the sponsor of the Daily Right Side Way Monologue, a chain of clinics all throughout our listening area, which is a pretty big listening area. So yes, Southern Immediate Care, open 7 days a week. Wonderful folks. They will take care of you, whatever you need, all ages. Southern Immediate Care, a sponsor of the Right Side Way Monologue, and we appreciate it. All right, let me jump in here. So you've heard me say, I hope, multiple times, that I fully accept that government has a role. It does. I mean that. Government certainly has a role. and by design is intended to provide those essential services that are needed for a quality of life. Things like roads and bridges, military service, law enforcement, and other first responders. I mean, our founding documents specify it, that it was formed in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense. The Bible contemplates government. Jesus himself, when he was confronted by scheming Pharisees about the ruler of Rome, said, quote, "Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's." And that was partially a rebuke of the nefarious men who were trying to bait him into saying things that were inflammatory. But it was also a clear indication that even Jesus, who did not lie, was willing to acknowledge that governmental authority existed, and at times it had to be acknowledged. And notice that I said, at times. Government is not infallible, not by a long shot. The problem with government lies in the fact that it is often steered by people who are fallible, broken. Where we run into trouble is when we face what we sometimes jokingly refer to as a kakistocracy. A kakistocracy defined as a government run by the least competent of its citizens. I mean, government can run amok. On one hand, government can be just weak and feckless and fail to respond when needed. On the other, though, extreme government can become bloated and overreaching, too consumed with feeding itself and justifying its own existence. When that happens, you run into trouble with a government beginning to believe so strongly in itself that it becomes all-consuming, with tentacles that can reach into everything it sees and some that it imagines. And when government gets too big for its britches, you and I get what is often referred to as a nanny state. So apparently nanny state is a term that was coined first in Great Britain. It began making the circulation of speeches and editorials back in the 1960s. It refers to a government so big that it becomes the caretaker for all of our needs and ensures that we are protected from ourselves, if you will. It becomes a government not just content to provide essential services, but to also ensure that we better understand the minor decisions we have to make from the point of view that government just knows best and will help us in our feeble attempts to get by in life. Well, that government, in its wisdom, will ensure that we are protected from ourselves and our silly, immature compulsions. Yeah. Margaret Thatcher, when she took office as Prime Minister of Great Britain, she gave a speech that warned against the nanny state, in which she said, quote, "We should not expect the state to appear in the guise of an extravagant good fairy at christening, a loquacious companion at every stage of life's journey, and the unknown mourner at every funeral." Fancy words, but basically what she's saying is that government is not supposed to be our be-all, end-all, granting every wish. President Ronald Reagan also followed suit in a speech in which he said, "Where government has gone beyond its limits in deciding to protect us from ourselves." Yeah, but government does, too often. Whether by elected officials or just bureaucrats trying to exercise their authority, government can get all up in your business and begin defining the government's version of daily life. All right, so for instance, you may take comfort in knowing that in late 2022, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration responded to a consumer group with some very clear guidance. The FDA decided the world should know that there is nothing wrong with bringing a dog to an outdoor eating area as long as the dog does not use the plates or utensils that are meant for humans. So, bring your own doggy fork, I guess. But hey, we wouldn't have thought of that on our own, right? You may also recall when Michael Bloomberg was mayor of New York City. In 2013, Bloomberg became a bit antsy about the habits of his constituents imbibing far too many sugary soft drinks. Now, me personally, I'm the fan of the occasional and very legal carbonated beverage, personally known as to the good old American Coca-Cola. But Bloomberg, he decided no one should be allowed to get the big gulp version of a soft drink because, well, that's just too dangerous. So Bloomberg's plan was to ban the sale of soft drinks in containers larger than 16 ounces that contain sugar, unless it was 70% fruit or milk. So basically, all you had to do was buy two 16-ounce sugary beverages. But hey, Bloomberg was there for you. Back in 2017, here's another one. In 2017, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, was facing a crime epidemic. Local businesses began putting up clear, bulletproof barriers made out of plexiglass to protect their cashiers. One local official, though, became indignant, claiming that the issue was not one of government failing to provide adequate essential policing. She blamed the businesses, who dared to create the indignity of making their patrons be served through a plexiglass shield, which she believed was only being done in certain neighborhoods. Yeah, the ones with crime. Like, I don't know, high crime neighborhoods might be a plexiglass-centric area. You know what I'm saying? So being the small government icon that she was, Democrat Philadelphia Councilwoman Cindy Bass, she just went ahead and sponsored local legislation that would have banned plexiglass. No kidding. It didn't pass, but she gets high marks for trying to be a nanny. But listen, lest you think that the nanny state only happens in the bluest of blue governments, well, think again. Because one of the nanniest examples of nanny state actions just came to be right here in good old red state Alabama. Not just in the state, by the way, but in good old red Huntsville, Alabama. I will admit that distracted driving is a thing. It's a bad thing. But I defy someone to tell me how law enforcement in the state of Alabama is going to effectively enforce a new ban that was just put into place in the last few months that makes it illegal to handle a phone while a vehicle crosses. Here's the quote. You ready? Handle a phone, quote, while a vehicle crosses in or out of a traffic lane without using a turn signal, the vehicle swerves, or the vehicle is otherwise operated in an impaired manner. Okay. So the state law, which they passed this past spring, says that if law enforcement observes an otherwise reckless driving, then they can add the lesser offense of distracted driving, but it appears that state troopers will not be pulling you over if they think they saw you drive by in a straight line with something looking like a phone in your hand. It's nanny-ish, but, you know, still. But not the city of Huntsville. Oh, no. The Huntsville City Council just went full nanny mode in the last month. It passed a full ban for driving while touching your phone. Effective on January 1st of 2024, the City Council of Huntsville has now approved the plan that was foisted upon us by Councilman David Little that far exceeds even the nanny state version passed by the state legislature. So beginning on the 1st of next year, local police are going to begin issuing citations if you drive by and they see you with a phone in your hand. They can pull you over as that being the primary offense. You are holding a phone. I mean, you can drive the speed limit, use your blinker, stop at all the stop signs, and still be pulled over because you were on the phone telling your wife you'll pick up dinner on the way home. First conviction, $50 fine. Second conviction, up to $100 fine. A third conviction within 24 months, 2 years, is a $150 fine and up to 10 days in jail. But if you're a consistent lawbreaker and your cell phone rap sheet keeps going, you could face up to 30 days in jail for holding a phone in your hand. But don't worry, if all you're doing is swiping your phone to disconnect the call, the code says that's okay. So I can hold a coffee cup, I can hold a book, I can surf the playlist on my large screen dash and turn up my music so loud I can't hear the traffic, but by God, I can't touch that phone once I cross over the line from Madison to Huntsville. I mean, watch out for the city limit signs in Huntsville area, folks, because the nanny state just came to Alabama, and I feel certain that we're about to have to take down our plexiglass and stop buying big soft drinks in the city of Huntsville. Thank you, Councilman David Little, big government man. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Wow. Well, there you have it. I don't often call out a politician by name in a monologue, but that one deserved it. I mean, but I got to say, it's not just that one councilman. Oh, by the way, the whole council that voted to approve it. Did they debate it? Apparently. They even tabled it for a while. But as of January 1, if you are seen driving with a phone in your hand, oh, by the way, what if it's not a phone? What if it was something else that looked like a phone? What if the police thought they saw a phone? How are they going to verify that it was a phone or not when they pull you over? Were you holding a phone? No. Okay. I mean, what are you going to do? It's ridiculous. Nanny state. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.